Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, November 6, 2014, and with me today I have a man with an opinion, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I must warn you, I'm in a weird mood this morning.
That's so. Like the most exciting thing I've heard all day. Awesome.
So it's going to get funky.
That's what I like to hear. And a man with a reaction, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I would like to be on the record as stating that I ain't no Hollaback girl.
You know, and now it's out there on the internet, so it has to be true.
It must be.
Yeah. Hey, our sponsor this week, Smile and Texas Expander Touch 3. Hey, thank you to them.
Yep.
Topics. The first thing I thought we should talk about is this new malware threat that seems to be out there called Wire Lurker.
Preventing the background music.
That's not good.
Wow.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You really are in a weird mood today. Brian, whatever John's having, I'll have a double.
All right. Yeah. Let me get on that.
Mix that right up for me. Okay, so Wire Lurker is this malware threat for the iPhone and iPad, so for iOS devices, that will, or it can attack your device or get on your device, even if you're not jailbroken, and it also uses Macs to get on the devices. So what you do is you take your iPhone, you plug in the USB cable, plug it into your computer, and if an app that's been turned into a Trojan for Wire Lurker is there, it will then dump its payload onto your iPhone. Once it's on your iPhone, it can then cull your contacts, your text messages,
everything emails, that the Chinese government might want.
Everything that the Chinese government might want. That's right. Plus, it will phone home and get instructions and updates from its servers. So the malware app can be updated remotely so that it can be more robust, I assume, but then also so that it can do other nefarious things on your device.
Two things here. First of all, there's actually like the whole big long list of things, but we'll start with two of them. One is that this is starting with downloading pirated software.
Yes, you download pirated apps to your Mac.
So don't steal software. Don't steal stuff, period, first of all. Secondly, this is originating in China and is currently targeting Chinese users, which is why I made my crack about the Chinese government. And there are hundreds of apps that are infected on a pirate software site.
Yes,
and it will spread. It will spread.
And number three, Brian, it exploits the trust that your iPhone has for its brother and Mac.
Yeah, because this doesn't need a jailbroken iPhone to get. I find that, I mean, what's the name of that particular vulnerability? Did I read something about a root pipe?
Maybe you did. I don't know. I know it uses right provisioning tools.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, this is scary stuff. And I hope that Apple's on this.
Well, actually, they are. I shot a request off to Apple for more information, and they have replied back. We needed to record, so I haven't had a chance to put anything on the site yet. That will be happening shortly. They are aware of Wire Lurker, and they have already updated their app identification list so that none of these apps will launch.
Jeff, it's a good thing we didn't have any Skype dropouts because some people might have heard I shot Apple.
Well, you know, depending on the day, that could happen to you. You never know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just noting.
So you're saying that if I end up acquiring one of these pirated apps from someone somewhere, that Apple, that app won't launch on my Mac as long as my app Mac has recently checked for virus definitions.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
That's a great start.
That is in fact a great start. But of course, if whomever, and I'm still looking at you, Chinese government, was able to infect hundreds of these apps on this particular site, they of course can keep going and infect other pirated software.
Right. So the long-term fix is Apple needs to change the way their provisioning tools function so that this sort of attack isn't possible.
Right. And you know, and I'm pretty quick and fast on the draw with my Chinese government. This actually could be the effort of a criminal organization. It's probably not the NSA. at least this time around. But you know, we don't actually know that it's the Chinese government, but I'm just assuming it is.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's the Chinese government at all.
We don't know. I'm just spouting off here. This is a scary one, man. I hate the fact that there's something that can infect my iPhone that's not jailbroken when I've connected it to a trusted Mac. That's a scary thing.
Yeah, that is. That annoys me greatly too.
Yeah. Now there are some things that you can do right now to protect yourself while we wait for Apple to update their provisioning tools, which I'm assuming they're working on, even though they haven't said. And that would be, first, don't download and use pirated software.
Yep.
That's just a good rule of thumb.
From any site, levels. including sites here in the States. I mean, this is malware infects a lot of pirated software, not only because it's more suspect, as more vulnerable to being implanted with malware, but because a lot of agencies, including probably the NSA, but also criminal organizations, regularly use pirate websites to target this sort of thing.
Sure. It's a very easy vector.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So no pirated software. Make sure that that in your security and privacy settings on your Mac that you have gone to the general tab, and make sure that you're not set to allow all apps to run, but only those that are from the Mac App Store and trusted developers.
By the way, what's Apple's problem with labeling that as Gatekeeper? Why does that have to be so obscure?
It's actually not labeled as Gatekeeper anymore.
Right. It never was. It's just there. And I find it endlessly confusing why Apple would go to all this fuss to advertise Gatekeeper and then not
give us a Gatekeeper app.
And not put it, not label it as Gatekeeper. Yeah,
that's, yeah, there you go.
Strange.
Yeah. So there you go. That's a couple things you can do right now to protect yourself. And then just don't plug your iPhone in via USB into computers where you can't trust the people or you don't know who they are. Not like you would do that anyhow, but I see crazy stuff happen in coffee shops. So I can imagine somewhere along the way, someone's like, "Hey, I don't know you, but I need more power for my iPhone. Can I plug it into your Mac?"
Yeah, sure. And once upon a time, why wouldn't you? You know, in fact, you could have plugged your iPhone into a stranger's Mac to get a charge, because we Apple people do tend to help each other out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And said, "Don't trust this computer," and it would still get a charge.
Right.
But with this attack, even saying you don't trust that computer, as I understand it, it can still get infected.
That's how I understand it too.
I mean, this is a scary thing.
Yes. Yeah.
It relates back to that communication to the user. You know, if Apple designed the operating system so that it was more chatty and more communicative, it would annoy you, and it would not have that appearance of simplicity. So I'm sensing a little bit of tension here between how Apple tries to make things simple and happy and how the underlying attacks against it depend on Apple's simplicity approach and ease of use approach.
Yeah,
we've been talking about that for a long time.
You should write something on that, John. I think that you would bring some excellent perspective to that.
I can recall writing about that in the past, but I wouldn't mind bringing it up again.
Yeah,
I think that would be awesome. Yes. Okay. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that's Smile. And actually, I'm really glad they're our sponsor because I've been a Text Expander Touch user for a really long time. So it's cool to get to talk about them and have them supporting us. Text Expander Touch 3 is available for iOS devices, and it lets you take your words and phrases and other stuff that you need to type a lot and turn them into little abbreviations. And when you type those abbreviations, they magically explode into whatever it is that they're supposed to be. And Text Expander Touch has like 14 different language keyboards available. By the way, you can set that as your keyboard so that you can use it in all your apps, which is kind of awesome. A ton of different languages, and you can synchronize the snippets that you're making between all your iOS devices. And if you're running Text Expander on your Mac, then synchronize with your Mac too.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a beautiful, wonderful, awesome tool. And it's one of those utilities that I can't live without, so I'm really glad to get to talk about them on our show.
I love Text Expander, too. I have a snippet called Monkey on a Typewriter, and when I click it, it writes my articles.
That's a beautiful thing.
Isn't that great?
That's a good thing. Do we have any word back yet on whether or not they're interested in my jingle?
I don't know, and I really want to know if they're going to make Text Expander Tongue for me based on the way I was having difficulty pronouncing any word yesterday. I'll see if I can get an answer on both. All right, I'll have a link to Text Expander Touch in the show notes, and thank you to Smile, that's smilesoftware.com, for sponsoring us this week.
Good stuff.
Thanks, guys. Yes.
And so the next thing I wanted to hit, John, this is a piece that you wrote. And there's been this rumor going around that probably because the iPad mini didn't get anything more than a Touch ID sensor on this latest round of updates, mm-hmm. that Apple is planning on dropping the product from their lineup.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of flash in this most recent update. And this Chinese publication, The Economic News, somehow pulled a rabbit out of the hat and magically projected that iPad mini sales would be down by 33% next year. I don't know where they got that number. I don't believe it. And maybe they were talking to some suppliers, and the suppliers said that their orders were down. But, you know, we always know that Apple's shifting its component suppliers, maybe even moving some production back to the U.S. You know, we never know. Tim Cook has warned us about that. Nobody's taking it seriously, I don't think, but I started thinking philosophically about it. I sat back and fired up my pipe and sat in my easy chair next to the fireplace and started pondering, you know, what would be the scenario for Apple to drop the iPad mini? And I couldn't see it at all. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure.
There's one scenario, John.
Well, there's one. I mentioned it in the article. The one possibility is, I want to tell you mine, then you tell me yours, is that Apple's working on a version of iOS that requires a large display because it's going to do multiple apps and multiple windows. And you just can't cram everything into an iPad mini's display.
But with a
9.7 and a 12-inch, you got plenty of working room. You can have multiple windows. All right, that's mine. Tell me yours.
That's a terrible reason to kill the mini.
That was the only one I could think of.
Fair enough. My scenario is that Apple has something to replace it. So, in other words, Apple could possibly iPod mini the iPad mini, right, by releasing the iPad Nano. Yeah, obviously, I don't actually mean those names today.
The iPad Nano is a 6 Plus.
I know, exactly. But the only scenario where Apple is dropping the iPad mini, which I understand it has been the best-selling iPad model. Maybe that's where I'm wrong. Do we have anything recent? Has the iPad Air been so successful that it...
I looked around. I couldn't find any installed base numbers.
Because originally...
And of course, Apple isn't going to say.
Yeah, originally, the first iPad mini outsold the iPad 4. by a long shot.
And well, that's not unexpected because the iPad 4 was just a minor upgrade to the Lightning connector.
Correct.
It was a yawner.
And the iPad mini was, of course, hitting some untapped demand. But my point is that the only scenario that that Apple is dropping this particular device is if it has another particular device that meets the same needs in a different way.
That's a good point. When you look at the numbers, you know, with declining iPad sales, Apple's certainly not going to cancel a product that's bringing in millions of sales per quarter. Even if it's a small fraction of the 12 or 15 million Apple's going to sell each quarter, they're not going to drop that opportunity. It's a beloved platform. A lot of people like it because it's so easy to carry around in a coat pocket or a purse. iPads can break. You want to get it replaced. It's not really a phablet. I mean, one of my items was, can an iPhone 6 Plus with a 5.5-inch display replace a 7.9-inch display? Seriously? I don't think so.
For some people, the answer is yes, but it all depends on how you use the device.
Yeah.
For me, the answer is no.
So I just sat back and pondered the scenarios and thought of everything I could think of and decided that, you know, there's no real good case to make for canceling the iPad mini unless, of course, Brian's brilliant idea comes into play and there's something else afoot.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. This is not there's nothing to this rumor.
Yeah, the iPad mini is not going away. And the caveat that I will toss in is that if Brian is right and Apple has something in mind to replace it completely, that's the only way it would go away.
I want to remind the world that Melissa Holt still owes me a lunch because she bet me that Apple would never introduce a 7-inch iPad. And next time we have a TMO staff meeting up there, I'm going to tell Melissa she owes me lunch.
That's right. You hear that, Melissa? Pay up.
There you go. I hope it's good lunch. Hey, we are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. John, thank you for your awesome insights.
Yep.
And Brian, thank you for your insights and reactions.
Yay.
And thanks to Smile for being our sponsor this week.
Yeah.
All right. See everyone tomorrow.
Ta-ta. Bye.